I invite you to open your pew Bibles to Luke chapter 9. It's about 80% of the way into the Bible. New Testament, page 54. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my Father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." One day, a couple of weeks ago, I sat down and read the book of Luke in a sitting. I commend it to you if you're looking for a good Thanksgiving Christmas tradition. It took me about an hour and a half with maybe a couple phone calls thrown in just to sit down and read the book of Luke from cover to cover. And my takeaway this time was that Jesus demands material simplicity of anyone who would follow him. Jesus calls the 12 disciples, and you remember the story from Sunday school. You can probably see some guys standing by fishing boats, cleaning nets. And Jesus comes alongside and says, "Follow me." And they walk away from it all and go follow him. Why did they do that? It might seem like the obvious answer from a Sunday school perspective, but think about it. That fishing business was a family business. Maybe their great-grandfather started it, built it up, got some boats, some nets, equipment, tools, eventually got a decent reputation, built up some more customers to buy the fish, passed on that business to the grandfather, to the father. There's the boats, there's the nets, there's the tools, there's the customers, there's the reputation, there's the money in the bank. Jesus says two words, and they walk away from it all. Imagine somebody having their own business today. You spend all those hours, your time, your money, to build up a business. What would it take for one guy to walk by, say two words, and they walk away from it all? And then there's the guys we just read about. One man says, "Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere." And Jesus says, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man is homeless." Are you willing to be homeless? Are you willing to be one of those people in Austin, in the ripped shirts and jeans, with all their worldly goods in a Walmart sack? Do you love me enough to be homeless? And the man says, "I don't love you that much," and walks away. Another man comes up to him and says, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go, but I have to go to my dad's funeral first. There's not a person in the world who wouldn't tell him, of course, go to the funeral. Your siblings are going to be there. Your cousins are going to be there. Your grand aunt is going to be flying in from California. Of course you need to be there. But Jesus says, it's now or never. Later on in Luke, there's two rich young men who get invited to follow Jesus. First gets called the rich young ruler. He says, Lord, I've done everything you've commanded. And Jesus says, sell what you have and give the money to the poor and then come follow me. And he goes away sad because he can't. And then Zacchaeus gives up half his worldly goods to follow Jesus. And the thing I never caught with the rich young ruler before is that this is Jesus' first prospective rich donor. Jesus is traveling all over the country, doing all these amazing things. Certainly he could do more with some money in the bank, wouldn't he? And Jesus says to this rich young ruler, I don't want your pocket change. I want it all or nothing. I'm helping out with the LCMC has a church planting team that's working on starting new congregations. Why starting new congregations? Because people who are far from God, people who don't share our Christian faith, are much more likely to come to faith through a new congregation than through a long-established one. Our congregation has some challenges, right? Somebody moves to town and they see Martin Luther Lutheran Church. If they're not Lutheran, they tend to read that as Lutherans only. And if they are Lutheran, chances are they're one of the two other brands. So our challenge is going to be, how do we get people to come in here anyway? And you are our evangelism strategy. This is a reminder of that. But anyway, we're working on planting some new congregations and had to go have a meeting with somebody who wanted to talk about investing in planting new churches in Texas and told him a little bit about what we're thinking about. And then I asked if he had a dollar figure in mind. He said, yeah, around $4 million. And I kind of choked on myself. And my first thought actually went back to this rich young ruler, where Jesus has his first prospective big donor and then says, I don't want your $4 million. I want it all. It almost seems like Jesus' goal is to have zero disciples. It's the opposite of what we do at Christmas time. Church spends a lot of time getting ready for Christmas, get it extra clean, get out some decorations, get a few, make sure the best soloists are singing and bring in a couple extra instrumentalists. Some churches do all sorts of things to try to get people to come, give away free iPads, free gift certificates, maybe get Miss Texas to come in and do the readings while doing a yo-yo. And then you pretend like this is the way it always is. Oh yeah, this is what we do every Sunday, free iPads for everybody. And, you know, on a Christmas sermon thing, I try to do my best sermon of the year at Christmas Eve, because there's a lot of people, you know, who are going to fill in these gaps in the pews on Christmas Eve, right? And they only come on Christmas Eve. And yet you still have this thought in your mind that, you know, if somehow You're able to just communicate the gospel message in such a powerful and life-changing way that they'll just have this moment where there's just this epiphany and everything in their heart and mind changes, so much so that they're able to come on Easter as well. I mean, there's just this conviction that that's what could happen. And yet Jesus doesn't run around offering iPads and gift certificates and beautiful decorations. He's clear that the old self has to die. That the old self has to die and a new self is going to be born. There's an old tradition with baptisms, like 2,000-year-old tradition, where even adult converts were baptized and babies were baptized without any clothes. They would come to church wearing their clothes. The church would give the clothes to the poor. And they would be baptized, and that would be the point at which they would get a new robe. That's where we get the baptismal gown tradition from. That the old self would be gone, you'd throw away your old clothes, put on a new robe, because from now on your identity is Christ. And there's so many times we use our possessions or our stuff to define who we are, right? I'm a Ford truck man, or I'm a Lexus lady, or I'm a hybrid sort of person. God help you. And we use it with clothes, right? I can walk into a place wearing a suit and tie and be treated one way and throw on a tie-dye shirt, be treated completely different. Same place, same person. We use our stuff to define who we are. Jesus invites his initial disciples to leave their stuff and to follow him, so that as they do, they realize that once they've let go of everything, all they have is Jesus. And he is enough. He is enough.